Story Chat with John Fornoff, the art and passion of storytelling. Here's your host, Brian Bullebush.
Hi, I'm not Brian, I'm John Fornoff, and Brian is off this time, but I'm always a little off. But anyway, that's another story. We're going to talk about story, and if you notice, I have friends with me. I mean, a whole bunch of friends. These are my friends. I hope you're all of my friends. Okay. Yes. Okay. We're all okay. Good. All right.
Time to find out. Yes.
Okay. That's right. Yes. Yes. We're here in Austin, Texas, and we're right on a lake, and it's just beautiful. And I got to show them the lake again. I know we showed it last, but I just show them the lake because it's really pretty. It's right there. There's the lake. Yes.
Those clouds.
It's yeah. Oh, let's all sing like the angelic. Yeah, that was pretty bad. So, okay. Right. So we're here this weekend. It's Story Haven. And this is all about talking about story and getting creatives unplugged from the world so we can talk about story and do it in a relaxed environment. We can help each other out and tell better stories. And that's what Story Chat's all about. So we're here to help you. So we invite you to our part of Story Haven. And Paul started Story Haven with NATO, is that right?
You and Alex Nathan.
Okay, that's awesome. And Alex, part of that. Awesome. Thank you guys. So,
And Nathan.
That's right. And Nathan. Okay. Okay. All right. Okay. Okay. All right. All right. Thank you, Justin. Well, thank you, guys.
I'm just a logistics guy.
Oh, okay. Well, all right. Yeah. Well, well.
I think I won yesterday.
Producers have no
warning for worst unintentional insult, though. So.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. We won't talk about that one. Okay. So what's cool about Story Chat is it was born here, actually born with Greg. Actually, I was thinking about doing a podcast for you all, just helping you with writing. You've got a writing problem. I'm sort of like the writer whisperer, I guess. I'm just helping you with writing. All right. And we talk about story, maybe help you with your writing. So I was talking about doing this podcast and Greg says, I think you ought to do that. In fact, I think he said, do it with video and audio or something like that. Do both or whatever. I remember you talking about that. It's like, okay. So I was thinking about it. And Greg says, you got to do that. Then it came to Story Haven last year, about this time last year, right?
Yep.
And Paul says,
you should do a podcast.
Amazing. And we're doing it right now. So a year later. And I went to SonicCon and ran into Brian Bullebush. And he's our producer. He's normally the guy hosting this. And Brian said, hey, I can help you do that podcast. So it's like, I talked to him. I'd like to do a podcast. Like, I'd like to start with a chainsaw and a little plant and talk about you don't prune your seedlings. And he says, I'm in. So anyway, we haven't done the chainsaw yet, but we'll do that later. But anyway, so it's amazing what you. So Story Haven is a little example, a beautiful example of that. When you talk about ideas and they become reality. And there's something about when you get around fellow creatives and you start just talking over stories. So you're not by yourself. You're exchanging ideas and encouraging each other. So thank you guys for encouraging me. And Brian, thank you. And that's why we're here and why we're helping others, which is great. So we want to, this will be a little different from we did last time. First of all, let's go around and we're going to talk about working through story problems. All right. And any kind of problems we run into. And feel free, give us your problems and we'll hopefully solve them. But we're going to talk about any story problems we have. But first of all, let's go around and just introduce ourselves. Tyler?
Yes. Tyler from Colorado Springs. And I do directing, producing, kind of that side of things in film.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Justice Hardy, writer, director, producer, aspiring TV writer, aspiring house husband. I like long walks on the beach side at sunset.
Hey, moving on. Okay. Thank you. Okay. Thank you very much, Justice. Thank you, guys.
I'm Alex Lermont here from Austin, Texas, and been privileged to make films with a bunch of these guys over the years, and also work in marketing, which is kind of like fiction writing. I just love telling stories and hoping to facilitate people who have amazing ideas that need to share.
Great.
I'm Robert Brace, and I'm from Austin, and dad rock mostly.
Yep. Paul Hastings, full-time podcaster and dad, erstwhile film producer long ago.
Erstwhile. I was impressed.
Greg Toll, I'm a writer, creative director, and stop motion animator.
Nathan Webster, here from Austin, Texas, and I'm a visual storyteller.
Awesome.
Awesome.
Good one.
Yes.
Awesome.
My childhood hero.
And then you met your childhood hero.
I know,
and
that's super
just
lame.
Never meet your childhood hero. Never meet your childhood hero.
What a letdown.
Oh, boy.
Here we are.
And I'm John. I write and produce radio, television, film, specialize in immersive audio drama like Adventures in Odyssey, Lamplighter Theater, Extraordinary Adventures of G.A. Henty, which, should I say this?
Say it. You first heard it here.
Yeah, it may come back. Just putting that out there. Okay, just putting a little seed out there. It was like, oh, man, it was, oh, that was, all those shows are amazing to work with, but Henty was, there's something really special about that one. So be praying. So, all right, let's go. That's exciting news. You heard it here first, and just keep it quiet. Don't tell. Well, you can tell people. Okay. All right.
Don't tell all the people listening to this podcast.
Yes. That's right. Okay. Okay, guys, just hit me with problems. And what I'm going to do is I'm not like the be all see all kind of thing. It's just like, I'll just tell you, hey, I remember I've written 200 episodes of stories, different stories for audio drama and written scripts and stuff like that. So maybe something I've gone through can help you. All right. But obviously, I'm not the only one here that writes. So I'll give my first go at it and feel free to jump behind me and say, I'll give you the real answer. Okay. Feel free to jump in if you've got another perspective. All right. So we'll just start with me. Hit me first. And then if you've got another idea to solve that problem, let's do it. And we're trying to help people out there, like relating to the problems they're having too, with story. Yeah. Therapy is a different thing. But anyway, here we go. Okay. So hit me with a problem. What's a challenge you've got with telling your story? And let's talk about it.
So I've got a question. So when you have, let's say you're on a deadline and you're supposed to force yourself to be creative and you have to be creative. What are your tricks to force yourself to turn out good content, even though you're not inspired?
Wow. Justice? Okay. No, okay. Well, I'll sell for you. Here's what I do. And again, I'm not this, this is what I do. It helps me is I take a walk and 100, I'm not kidding. 100% of the time I come up with ideas. It's just, I don't know. It's a fail safe. It's like, I'm hitting a deadline and I got to pump out something. And I'm thinking, how am I going to do this? I'll tell you a quick story after this, but amazing story that happened about that inspiration. And I go out for a walk and I don't know, there's something about just taking a walk. It's physical. It does something. It's mental, spiritual, emotional, all that kind of stuff. And I just walk around my neighborhood. That's what just, you know, whatever. Or if the woods nearby, I'll do that. And it's sort of like, I think back, this is a little grandiose, but hang in there with me. It's sort of like, I feel like I'm walking with God kind of feel, you know, like Adam and Eve. Wouldn't that be cool? Like to walk with God, you know, like imagine the conversations they would have, you know, see a tree over there, watch this, you know, whatever. I mean, hey, I came up with a new flower. What do you think? You know, just stuff like that. Imagine that. So, well, we can walk with God now. I mean, he's with us, right? God with us, that Emmanuel thing. It's like, so I'm walking along and just like, God will give me ideas. Sometimes when I write, I feel like a plagiarist. Like God will give me like, here's a night. Oh, can I use that one? You know, it's like, that's really good. Or I'll be out on my walk and I'm like 30, it usually takes me about 20 minutes or whatever, sometimes 30, but same 20 minutes. I'm out. And also I'm laughing. It's like, oh, I can't wait to get back and write that down. You know? So I go on a walk. That's what I do. And sometimes it helps to get out. Just put the screen away, get out, do something else. Sometimes it'll help call up a writer friend. And just kind of like, hey, I just want to chat. That helps me a lot. I'm hitting a roadblock or whatever. So I'll talk to a writer friend and say, I'm working with, and as you talk it out, sometimes your process will come up with a totally different perspective. So those are ideas that help. A quick story is, I wonder if my client will probably be watching this actually. So this will be, they'll find out the true story of what happened. Oh my goodness. Okay. Well, I'm out there. We're out there now. Okay. Here it is. Here it is, guys. So, I was supposed to write, 5 radio spots. All right. For a wonderful client of mine, great client. And I was going to write 5 radio spots and something happened. I got sick. I forget what happened. Whatever it was, I'm out of time. Okay. I just like, all of a sudden it's like, oh my goodness, I'm out of time and I'm going to call my client in 1 hour. I've got to have 5. Now, usually it takes about a full day. When I write radio spots, I don't just write, you know, hey, come on by for best selection, whatever. I just write. I like making creative, add sound effects and music and tell a story. I just like, I always like to, I never, ever, ever want to write something boring. So I got to be, you know, that kind of thing. So to write five original radio spots takes, you know, takes a full day, right? I had 1 hour and I'm thinking, oh man, what am I going to do? You know, how am I going to stall, you know? And I felt like I'd say, go for it. It's like, go for it. It's like, okay. So I started writing and I wrote like 3.5 spots, almost 4. And it's like, my hour's up. It's like, oh my goodness, I just wrote 4 spots in an hour. It's like, but I can do one more. So I'm talking to him on the phone. It's like, I'm going to get you spots to you. I want to get those spots, but I just need just a little bit more time to kind of polish up some stuff. Oh yeah, sure. No problem. Because it's getting late their time, right? So I get the phone and I send it in and I got 5 spots done in an hour and a half. Wow. It's like, that's the fastest I've ever, ever, ever written. Like, spots. Like, it was like, God just like, boom. He's amazing. Mm. So anyway,
yeah,
he told me, go for it. There's something by the way, like, I don't recommend doing what I just said. Don't do this at home, okay? But it's like, there's something when God calls you to do something and he just gives you that little nudge, like, yeah, step out of the boat. Go ahead. Don't step out of the boat until he says come, by the way. Just a little, you know.
I'm getting a phone call from that client for you.
Okay. You're fired. Okay.
Still, he's still polishing up.
Oh, still polishing up. That's right. Still. The punchline is, they love the spots. He said, these are really, it's like, oh, I mean, they could have been garbage, right? It's like, I just realized, no, that was just God bless. So it's cool. Okay. Any other story problems? It's hitting on deadline. That's a great one. Any other deadline on creative on deadline?
I think one for me is my mind will kind of latch onto a specific idea. Like, I like these people and I like the relationship and everything. Then sometimes crafting the arc of the plot or an entire feature is really difficult, you know? Whenever, like, I've read books, I've watched videos and people talk about like the hero's journey and 3X structure. And it's just, it doesn't help me. I don't know why. It's just like, you know, I don't feel like I got a better grasp on writing until I wrote my first feature. But even then it's like the understanding of like, how do I tap into that again? Or how do I find that structure again? It just feels like you're kind of, I don't know. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Wow, that's a good one. And by the way, I forgot, feel free to jump in any other creative ideas about how do you do creativity on deadlines. So feel free to jump in on stuff like that. Let's answer this one first. Is there's something about, I have found with structure. First of all, with creative, we're creative people. Okay, we like to be creative. Like, and the people that are extremely creative is like, I just want to be free to write what I want to free, you know, kind of thing. And the problem with that is it's sort of like a river without banks is a disaster. Okay. That's a flood, right? There's something about those banks, that structure that gives your story power and gives it flow, gives it direction. There's something powerful about that structure. So there's something encouraging for us there. Something that I don't know if see this all, is you're having trouble getting into that structure thing. How do you, like, it doesn't go. Something that might help. And I just did this, with somebody's story. It's a real life story. All right. So I mapped out, I just spilled out, just put it on the page. Just feel free to write. Don't worry about structure. Just in the first pass, just write. Just, oh, that's looking good. Okay, cool. And as you write out, now you've got something on the page. And there's something that happens with me when I'm taking, let's say I've done that. I've got it written out, got my story written out. I will go ahead and I'll do the left brain part, which I call, that's the left brain part where I map it out to the, so I take my story and I just cut and paste. So, oh, here's the ordinary world. Oh, there it is right there. And I'll just cut, this sounds really simplistic, but it works. And I'll just take that part and plug it in there. And then say, okay, here's the crossing the threshold from ordinary world to extraordinary world. Oh, here's the upsetting the apple cart, you know, upsetting the inciting incident. Oh, there it is right there. And I just cut and paste. And what happens is I found when I'm writing, when I'm doing that left brain, I call it the grunt work. I don't really enjoy it that much, but it helps me to lay down the train track for the train to come. And if I'm like laying out track as a train is going, it just kind of like, I can do it, but it's kind of chaotic. If I can, like, what's freeing to me is if I lay down that train track, that outline ahead of time, I've worked out, oh, we got a mountain there. So what are we going to do around the mountain, blow up the mountain? What are we going to do? Oh, we got a body of water. We're going to do a trestle. We're going to do what, you know, I'm figuring out metaphorically how to get around the story problems. I'm figuring out arcs, all that kind of stuff. I do all that left brain, hard grunt work. And it's like, okay, now I get to write and I don't have to worry about, I've already worked out those problems. Now I don't, I'm not so strict with it that I don't let it flex. Like I'm going this way. It's like, oh, you know what if we did this? So I'll do that. But it's so freeing to me just to write, you know? So I do that left brain stuff that helps me. It really does help. And then when I'm writing, it just flows. It's fun. Cause I've already worked out the tough stuff. Now I just like, okay, we'll just see what happens. You know, I kind of know, I kind of do a spoiler warning for myself, but anyway, it's like, don't look down there, John, don't look. Okay. All right. This is cool. You know, the funnest part of writing to me, I don't know if you get when you're writing, and it's a couple of things when you're writing and it's almost like the characters are so alive. It's like, you're just like, oh, what are they gonna say next? It's like, they're talking and you're taking dictation. It's like, this is amazing, you know? And also when I'm laughing, when I'm writing, oh, that's a joy. And one time I was in a, get around to this real quick, is I was in a cafe, I was writing a story called The King's Son. And there's this part in there where it's like, oh man, it broke me. And it's about how, what Jesus does for us. And it was a metaphor and all that kind of stuff. So I'm in a coffee shop and it's like, I'm just crying. I'm just like weeping, you know? And there's a bunch of teenage girls next door, you know, I was just kind of like, I'm just a writer. It's okay. It's all right. It's like, okay. Real quick. Anything else on that? As far as how do we get into the, like, it's the structure stuff. It's kind of hard to get into that.
Well, I think another thing that can be helpful is bringing in someone that maybe their forte is structure.
Oh, yes.
Maybe their strong suit is structure. So just having those partners, not just to get general writing advice or notes, but I mean, for instance, I'm kind of the opposite of you. I really enjoy the structure part. I'm not that empathetic, honestly. And so when it comes to the character creation and really feeling the characters, that's not my strong suit. So I find it helpful to have people that are maybe more character builders, more empathetic. They can help flesh out the characters. I like the structure. So that's another big thing, is just bring in somebody that's actually skilled at what you're maybe not so skilled at.
That's really good.
And I can affirm that, Nathan. I've worked with you on projects and I have less of a gift for structure. And so I can create individual moments that are interesting or little character beats, but it's all just a pile of raw material and a jumbled mess.
And this is literally our process in post-production, because we've edited shows together. And so he'll rough cut it, but he'll just rough cut scenes and not the structure. And then I'll take that timeline and put it together.
Oh, that's great.
Good example of, you know, finding someone that is strong where you're weak.
This is a great example, actually, overall. Let's say when I'm writing, I'm strong with dialogue. Let's say I'm not strong with dialogue. I can do a pass to send to somebody that is strong, a writer friend that's strong with dialogue. I've got a friend, Kathy Buchanan. She's like the funniest person I know. So it's like, I can run a script by her. Theoretically, I can run it by her to funny it up. You know, it's like, so wherever I'm weak, like, or I'm not as strong as something, I just hand it over to somebody else and just, I'll do a pass on it. You know, that's a beauty of a writer's room, by the way, when we did with Adventures in Odyssey, we had, Marshall was really strong with character and plot. Nathan was strong with plot. I'm a little bit weaker on structure. So I gotta have my left brain thing, you know, my sheet there, but it was helpful talking with people. I'm good with dialogues. I can help with lines or whatever. And so we all learn your individual strengths and you help the story along. So feel free to tap into other people that are stronger than you are in an area and let them help you. That's a great idea. Anything else? Any other story problems or yes, go ahead.
Wanted to reiterate what you were saying about like doing the grunt work at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
I think of it as literally like, you're right, it's not that much fun because you want to get onto the exciting parts of writing a story, but you are literally framing the house. Once you frame the house, you can go in and you can finish it, you can put in walls, you can decorate it the way that you want, you can side it, move pictures around and all those things. But if you don't have a frame, you have nothing to finish. You have nothing to put it on. So I think that doing that work of saying like, okay, what are my three arcs? What is the turning point? What is the dark night? So like whatever all of those moments are, at the beginning, you rough all those things in, and then I think you can look back at your story. And once you start sitting down and writing all of it, and you really start to build that relationship with your characters, and then they're driving your plot more.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes there's things that you had sketched into your structure that you don't end up using. You're like, okay, that doesn't even work anymore. And so you just completely change an event. It was General Eisenhower who said that planning is everything, but plans are useless. So it's like when your plan meets the enemy, it never survives, right? But you need to plan to be prepared to meet the enemy, even though when you guys meet, it's not going to survive. And so I think it's the same kind of concept. Like if you don't go frame your house and have a plan and go into it sort of with a structure, right?
Yeah.
For the story, then you're
there's no stable foundation for you to build your house on.
That's good. That's really good.
Then once a stable foundation is there,
And that's the fun part. When you see, yeah, there's something about that. A real quick random tip that helps me out too is when I'm writing, let's say I've got my set aside this time of writing, I'll stop at 7 o'clock. So as I'm wrapping up at seven, say, I will, I'll put a little note there where I'm going to go with my next step. Okay, so I came to this part in the script. Okay, next, and I see my structure, you know, I got that. But next, I want to do this. I want to, this is the next beat of the story where I want to do this next. So I'll just put that, just a little note to myself, right? And then I'll put it away. So what that does is that little thing there, my brain is working subconsciously on that next story beat. And it's fun because I'll go to sleep or I'll just, you know, also know it's like, it's coming to me. I'm working on it. All and sometimes it's like, oh yeah, I'm not even thinking I'm munching on some potato chips and all of a sudden, yes. Or I'll, when I come back to it after, you know, I come back to my computer, I'm it's like, oh, I've been working. I know where I want to go. And just kind of gets you back in the flow real quick. So it's a little tip I learned.
That's a great tip.
Thank you. Any other story problems for you? We're almost done to time. So any other problems we have to solve? Yes.
Do you ever find yourself needing to kill a sacred cow with a story? What I mean by that is, you know, sometimes there might be an initial inspiration for a story, and then that initial inspiration transforms as the story develops in it. And how sometimes I struggle with how to distinguish between remaining true to the original vision of a story versus the need to let it transform it into whatever it needs to be. And sometimes what might look like a transformation is just a diversion or distraction from the core essence of the concept.
Yeah.
So how do you distinguish that? How do you determine in the development of a story?
It helps me when I come back, and by this is my secret of script consulting. It comes down to one question. So it's like I'm giving away all my trade secrets here. But when I do script consulting, I boil down to one question. And what helps is when you get down to that one question, now you can look at your sacred cows or your unsacred cows, whatever cows you're looking at. All right. And does it very good. I love that impression there. Does it work with this question or not? So the question is, and it's what drives every story, is what does a hero want more than anything else? And it's compelling. It's life and death. They're willing to bet the farm. It's high stakes. What do they want more than anything else? Okay. Or and that's
bet the cow.
They could bet the cow. They're going to bet the cow. I mean, on all the cows. So now, and of course, the remaining part of the, you know, what's stopping them from getting there and how do they overcome it? That's your 3X structure right there, right? But let's go back to the first one. What do they want more than anything else? And how are they going to get there? So everything I'm looking at in my story, the characters or like the side story, is it related? Is it coming back to that? Is it coming back to that question? What do they want? What is it they want? Is it solving that? Is it taking another angle? If it's not answering that question, which is kind of related to the theme, there's an underlying question, by the way. What do they want more than anything else? That's your external story. What do they need more than anything else to get there? That's their internal story. So those two questions, what do they want and what do they need? Those two questions right there together, that's your story. So every scene needs to answer one of those, needs to solve that. And if it doesn't, you have to throw it out. There's your barbecue. Okay. Anything else as far as that goes?
I mean, so far, I'm craving the barbecue, I'm craving the chips you mentioned.
We're getting close to supper time here, yeah.
Food.
So oh,
food.
Man.
Can I put a little PS on what you said?
Yeah, sure.
You
can PS on my story, sure.
Brilliant. I'm okay. Going to piggyback.
Okay, good. Okay, sounds a little bit fun. Okay.
Yeah, it might actually been John August or Craig Mason that said this. I don't remember. So, loosely. But they said, I think it was them, if your character could make any other decision than the decision they're making at a given point in the story, then you need to rethink how you're writing it.
Mm.
Like your character, especially as they move further along in a film, right? Like they should be, if the end of a story is that, you know, say a woman leaves her husband, right? And she's like, I can't do this anymore. And she leaves. At the point that you get to the point in the story where she's going to leave,
you need to know as an audience member that she believes, she feels she has no other choice to make.
That's the one she's going to make. That makes sense.
I see that the most in like thrillers and horror films, you know, when you see a character and you're like, don't go down the dark hallway when there's a killer on the loose in the community and you know it and the light's flickering out. But it's like, you know, you can get around it. Like if it's like, well, but my little brother ran down there. Right. Or, but like, I have to get the laundry done because I have a job interview tomorrow. The and then this is the laundry room. It's down the creepy stairs. There's only one light bulb. Right. So it's like, she has to do it.
And it's swinging.
She wants to get the job and she wants the promotion more than anything else. Right. Mm-hmm. So like, yeah, take the other options away. Otherwise, the audience is there like, that is so dumb. Why are you doing it?
Yep.
You know, if you just say you're sorry, this rom-com's over. So, like, it's not that simple, right?
Yeah. Like, and to that, I think four words can destroy your film.
Oh, what are the four words? I can't wait. Okay.
Why didn't they just... blank.
Yeah.
And it's like, sometimes you have a good answer to that. Like, mm-hmm. well, you didn't pay attention because I did this, it was like this post-apocalyptic film and my friend was directing and everything. We got to the end scene. It was so poorly planned. It was like, why didn't they just kill him? Why didn't they just shoot him? And the director just like short circuits and it's like, pulls out some answer that doesn't make any sense. Because if you can't answer that, like, why didn't it just, if you're like, because X, Y, Z, oh, okay. But
there
that,
you go.
Just that statement can dismantle your plot really, really fast, you know?
And actually, it helped. That's the left brain part we talked about earlier. If you can solve those, why didn't they just earlier? Mm-hmm. It's like, oh man, I don't have to work through that. Now I can just write freely. That's a good one to work out ahead of time.
Yeah.
That's good. That's good. We're going to wrap up. Anything else? Tell me a stupid story. So something that's like, I can't believe they did that in that story. Tell me something funny or something that's like, can they, or any other story problems? We're kind of throwing out some stuff as we wrap up here. Any other story problem, or tell me something, a stupid story you saw?
Well, I'll tell you a stupid story.
Okay. All right.
This film was so infuriating. I can't even remember its title. I've abolished it from my memory, but it's about this, this battleship, or no, I think it's an aircraft carrier in like the 1980s that goes out to sea and they get caught in this weird anomaly and they get transported back to just outside Pearl Harbor right before the Japanese attack. And okay. They realize, oh my gosh, we've been transported back in time. Like the Japanese are going to attack in like 12 hours or whatever. We're a 1980s aircraft carrier. Like we have fighter jets. We have modern technology. Like we're going to destroy the Japanese. So there's this whole huge buildup to it. And you're like, this is going to be crazy, right?
Yeah.
Like, now you have fighter jets that are decades later. It's amazing technology. And there's this whole buildup to it. You're getting all excited. And the Japanese fleet is getting closer. And then there's like some engagements with some of the bombers. And then they get transported back to the modern day. And it's the end of the film.
Wow. There's something called the promise of the premise. Is like when you see the fun and games and you're drawn, it's like I'm drawn to your, it's like that's a good premise. It's like I'm liking it, I'm buying it. It's like, are you serious?
Unfortunately, the title of the film should have given it away. It was called Psych.
No, but they didn't uphold their end of the bargain, right?
Oh,
like,
wow.
You know, you're going to that movie, like, at some point, I'm going to
see didn't uphold, an 80s yeah.
fighter jet.
Yeah. Engaging with a World War II. Yes.
Japanese bombers, whatever.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then they never gave you that.
It's like, oh, well, let's
cheated.
Go.
Cheated. You're like, I invested yes. 2 hours of my time into this, and you never gave me the bacon. Again.
Wow. Wow.
Did you say bacon? The bacon.
You're piggybacking again. Yes. No. Okay. That's good. Yes. Oh man. I saw a movie. If you ever get to see this movie, don't. It's it's called The White Stallion. Remember The Black Stallion?
Yeah.
That was a good movie, right? Well, the folks over at MGM said, you know what? Why don't we do? I know The White Stallion. And let's get Mickey Rooney, you know, we'll pull him out of retirement and just put him on a movie and just, you know, and it was the worst film I've ever seen. It's just like, it just all kinds of story problems. In fact, I think I'm going to take that apart on a future podcast, but it was so lame. I'll just give you one little example. The White Stallion. No. Oh, yeah. Oh, man. Well, there's one, I don't know if it's a story element, it's more of a movie making element, but there's one part where there's a girl talking to a lady, like she's a writer, and she's talking to a young girl, like, I don't know, 12 or 15, whatever. And so they're talking and they're facing each other, which, you know, that's what you do, right? Okay. They're just talking to each other. It's basic two shot. Then it cuts to a shot of their feet. Why? I do not know. But their feet are facing each other. Okay, that's
because
logical.
They didn't have coverage of those.
Okay, that's probably what it was. Yes, exactly. Exactly.
So who is the coverage of
there? I know, I know. But it's like, yeah, I think the camera guy fell asleep. He's like, oh, man.
Wow.
Well, it cuts back. It cuts back to them. They're talking again. Okay, cuts to their feet. And one girl is her feet are pointed this way. Like, the opposite, like they're not, and but goes back and they're facing each other. It's like something went wrong there.
Okay, so it was a shot from another scene,
and they just stuck it in there, you know.
From another movie that
it filmed, and one other one, it's so many bad things. One other with her, she gets in a she's in a pickup truck with a she's in a pickup truck, and a bad guy jumps in, and he's going to attack her. And so she reaches, you just see the cab of the truck, and she just reaches down and pulls out a crowbar and knocks. It's like, where did the crowbar come from? This is like, that wasn't set up. You need to set things up, you know. Anyways, just
so he gets in the truck.
Yes.
And then she reaches for the crowbar.
Yeah.
And then.
Right. Exactly. That's it. And that was that ended it. And then, yeah.
Sounds like really good.
And they play the same music, by the way, for the chase scene, for the romance scene. The same music, same. It was like the same cheesy 1980s music. It was really bad. It's very similar to that. Yeah, the White Stallion. Yes. Okay. Anything else before we wrap up? Any other story problems or any other? This has been fun. Yeah. Thank you, guys. Yeah.
Thanks, John.
You're welcome. All right. Well. Keep writing. We need you. And thank you. Hope this helped you. And if you have any questions or whatever, write to us. How do you do it in podcast world? You know how to do this, Paul. Leave a comment.
Leave a review. Leave a five-star review on Apple Podcasts like I did. Tell your friends.
Click subscribe. Yeah. All that kind of stuff. Donate. Do it. What's that? Donate. Yeah, donate now.
Yep.
Yep, that's
Send
good.
Some Dogecoin over.
Okay. All right.
John Bornoff.
All right. Thank you all very much. Blessings. All right. We'll see you guys. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Story Chat. If you want to hear more, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast. If you have any questions for John or feedback on the show, please email us at storychatwithjohn@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.